and thank you very much to the Rip Off Service of Radio Atlantis. It's now exactly, it's 1 minute before 7 o'clock. My goodness me, we've gained a minute. And welcome to the International Service on this very first birthday of Radio Atlantis. The 15th of July 1973 is when it began. Oh, on 259 meters. And here we are on quite a different frequency. After a few in between, right?
Yes.
We shall be mentioning all those frequencies all the way through, and the other ones that are yet to come.
You got a box of pistols.
We're still trying to make up the numbers, you see.
You don't count on 312.
Well, the next long wave frequency is. Let's check the weather. Tonight is expected to be clear in most areas, with fog and mist affecting coastal areas around dawn. Tomorrow there'll be sunny periods accompanied by showers and longer periods of rain. Well, that's the Sunday weather forecast. I don't know what it's going to be like today. A bit rough today. I'll tell you what, let's kick off with the very first song, eh? That's My Girl Bill by Jimmy Stafford and his Staffs. And now, from all the staff on the Janine, both of us, that's what's left, actually. No, it's not true. We're Andy Anderson's got his penny whistle out again. I wish he wouldn't play with it.
I'm sorry. I've got a bad habit of playing with it.
Listen, I just thought we'd do a bit of reminiscing today.
Yes, indeed.
Do you remember when we first came out here?
No.
Oh, well, that's no good then, is it?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yes. Do you remember we were all both sick?
Yes, I do, yes. It was very nasty, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like being sick.
Then we got onto the tender, did you remember that? And we were even worse.
No, actually, we came out on a Muller tender, which is the first tender company we had. And, it was so rough, we couldn't get alongside, you see, so we just went out. It was about a four-hour blooming ride, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, yeah. And we lost the oars twice.
No, they had... We just came alongside, but it was so... We were put in the front of the ship, and it just went up and down so much. We were both saying how brave we were, you know.
I said, oh, I, you know, I've been on ships before, no need to worry.
And Andy's saying, yes, well, you know, I've been out on the for a long time, so it's no hassle. And, of course, we got out here, and we're both sick as anything.
Then we tried to get alongside, and the weather was so rough, you know, there was so much movement between the two boats, that we couldn't get on the ship, could we?
No, they even threw a massive, great Revox onto the ship, and Chris St. John was totally freaking, because this was a brand new replacement Revox that had been thrown, I guess, about 25 feet or 30 feet onto the deck of the ship. But luckily it still worked, and they were able to continue, but... Anyway, that's my very first sight of this thing, and I thought, oh my God, look at it, you know, it's really rusty compared to the last ship I was on. But anyway, after this, Andy can tell you exactly when he first saw the ship, but I've got to play a record. I think I ought to play this for Adrian, actually. It's called Dedicated Follower of Fashion. Well, there's the Kinks, they're rather tinny, what's it called, dedicated follower of fashion. Make that especially for everybody, everybody down there at Carnaby, I think, yes, jolly good.
Yes,
when did you first see the ship? I think you saw it in Cuxhaven, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah, I joined it in Cuxhaven, which is in Germany, in case your drunk isn't very good. And I think it was the beginning of December, or the middle of December.
But it was cold.
Oh, it's freezing cold, and there was no heating on the ship, you know. There was one diesel fire in the mess room. No heating in any of the cabins.
I heard you tell me once about that exploding or something.
The first day I came, actually.
That must have been quite
awful. Wasn't my fault. There was this mad Dutchman, you see, that decided... I hope he's not listening. But he decided, anyway, that he'd repair this diesel fire because it had gone on fire the previous day. And so he got his head in the back of it and tried to light it up. and it more or less exploded, and his head came out all black.
At first, actually, when we first came on the ship, we didn't have a proper generator engineer at all. So there were periods of time when we were broadcasting in January and February when we actually went off the air, which was about 1 o'clock in the morning or maybe even two, we actually had to switch off the generators completely to give them a rest, because the only person who was looking after the generators was in fact the electrician on board, who is Raf. And he didn't really know that much about the generators, although he tried damn hard and he knew more than everybody else did. So we had the generators off for the period of time which we were off the air, which was, what was it now, it was from about 1 o'clock in the morning through until, what time, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock we used to come on, I think.
There was another time, actually, probably sounds very Mickey Mouse, actually, but a lot of the things about the earlier, perhaps the earlier times of the station do, but fortunately the things are a lot more together now. There were times, in fact, that we, in fact, broadcast at night and not in the day.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we had no way of lighting the ship if we had the generators off.
Yeah, yeah.
And a ship at night with no lights on is...
Well, it's really terrifying. And there were a few nights that we spent... quite a few nights that we spent with no lights at all on the ship, only the emergency lighting on the ship, which is 24-volt operated. And really, honestly, to sit on a ship with no generators going and with the lights getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer.
Well, yeah.
In the middle of winter.
Were you on the ship when we didn't have any emergency lighting at all?
No, I wasn't. No, it was afterwards.
Yeah. But there were times, anyway, we didn't even have the emergency lighting on the ship. That's quite a recent innovation, anyway.
Mm.
We had sort of one or two hurricane lamps, but there was a time when we ran out of fuel for the hurricane lamps. You can, in fact, put diesel into hurricane lamps, but they smoke a lot and they're very dangerous, but
yeah.
You're supposed to put paraffin in them. You can, in fact, put diesel oil into them, and, in fact, we did that eventually.
Mm. Very difficult to light diesel, though. That's the only problem, isn't it?
It's possible, you know, you can do it, but it's not too safe, I don't think, anyway, and it certainly makes a lot of smoke, you know.
I'll tell you what, we'll play another record and we'll come back to that.
Righty-ho. The summer
sounds in the air.
Radio Atlantis.
And now your favourite record.
Try to get up on your feet, T-Rex fans.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of skank here, whatever that means.
Right, now you're up on your feet, you're going to listen to Big Night.
Not you, Gertie, you can sit down. There's a word for that. I put my headphones on, it fed back. Oh, what a naughty, silly, silly old microphone. What a silly pair of headphones, too, I don't know. Got it all organised now. Going back to what we were saying, do you remember there was a time, actually, when there was a fault in the transmitter with the modulation choke, and so much so that, I mean, we were just about reaching the shore. And
That happened
for the first couple of months.
Yeah, and we ordered new modulation chokes from the people on shore, and they brought out some totally ridiculous little thing, you know, that was sort of about the right size for a 100-watt transmitter or something, you know. And But it wasn't eventually until I got one in England that we could get the station's power back up again. But that was awful, wasn't it?
Well, actually, giving everybody their due, Gerard, who was running the shore side of things then, did go out and get a rather super... He got one from England, didn't he? He flew over and got one from England.
Yeah, but it was a little small.
Yeah.
It was a bit small for the transmitter. Not his fault. I think the trouble was that... nobody on shore really understood exactly what was needed, you know.
But the signal was so bad, and we actually knew that even in Vlissingen, it was hardly audible in the nighttime hours between about 7:30 and I think 10:30 when the station on 270 went off the air. So in actual fact, what we used to do was we used to close down between that time. We used to go I think it was, yeah, we used to close down after the Flemish service, and then we'd come back at 10:30, and we'd do programmes through until 6 in the morning, you know.
Yeah, as soon as we had a clear channel to broadcast on.
Mm.
In fact, then, you know, you could receive it quite a distance. It was surprising, but, you know, it still wasn't good reception, and the quality, I think, was very bad as well.
Yeah, one of the other things which I remember very distinctly about that time is when you put the new modulation choke in, and we tuned up the aerial, and then we got on the Shore Link, and they totally freaked out. They said, "Hey, that's fantastic! You've gone up by 4 times the power. It's incredible! Wow!" And we were more surprised than anybody else.
Yeah, it's surprising what you can do when you have the materials to do it with.
Yeah,
know?
That's true.
But that sort of is the problem all the way along, actually. You know, yeah. We still have that problem to an extent, I suppose.
Well, in actual fact, there was a time when we had. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a secret. The mast which is at the moment on the Mi Amigo is in fact the mast which Radio Atlantis ordered. It is their mast. And due to a deal whereby somebody in the organisation was going to flog that mast to Caroline, eventually Caroline just decided to take it anyway. And they did pay the firm for it, but they didn't pay Radio Atlantis for anything for having taken their mast. We also had another 10 kilowatt transmitter before we had the Janine. And one way or another, that got sold, and that's now on board the Mi Amigo. So we've lost quite a bit of stuff to them, really, one way or another. But I think if you consider the power of our transmitter at the moment, it's not bad going, really. We're almost in the big league, really. And hopefully today we're coming in even better, because we did some work the other day, didn't we? Or rather, you did.
That's right. We've got the transmitter working at higher power again. It's on the ordinary low-power transmitter. It's not on the linear amplifier, in case anybody's technically minded. But we have got the power up to about 3 kilowatts at the moment.
Hmm. Well, I guess that... actually, I heard news as well that the frequency, you heard it as well, that the frequency has become clearer now because of the station off-channel moving. But we're waiting till we go on shore so that we can check that one out ourselves.
Yeah, you
won't believe it till I hear it, Bob.
That's right.
She
Charles Aznavour, from number 7 to number 1. No, from number 1 to number 7 this week. And that is called She. Andy Anderson, you're not allowing me to switch my record on. That's it. Jolly good. Going back to what we were talking about in the early days, I was very, very worried, actually, when I first came out here, because I'd been on Caroline before, and I knew that if I came out here, that would be the end of Caroline. I didn't really want to go back to Caroline, to be honest, because my last encounter with it wasn't much fun. You know, I knew that would blow it completely forever. If I came out to this station, I wouldn't be able to get back on Caroline.
Yeah.
And all my friends and everybody I knew, I mean, even, you name it, Stevie Merrick, Michael Lindsay, all my friends that I knew in the business were telling me I was totally, totally stupid to come out to the station. I was totally crazy, you know. And there were much more interesting things coming out, and it was very Mickey Mouse, and they told me all sorts of tales, which they had obviously heard third hand, you know, that the ship was going to be sunk, and they were going to claim the insurance money, and all sorts of crazy things like that. And I know in the first early days, we were very, very anxious that... I was very, very anxious. I was the only person who'd ever been on another radio station before, and I was as a broadcaster. And I was, apart from Chris, of course, and Chris left. And we tried and tried and tried persuading Dave to come out, Dave Rogers. And he didn't want to come out. No way did he want to come out to the station. And eventually, we managed to persuade him. I think you persuaded him, didn't you?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Because I think Dave at the time was working in a bath cube factory. And I'd been driving trucks before I came out here. So all in all, we were pretty desperate for a job. But we were so terrified of this tiny little station. A ship with no crew, and you know, it was very, very bad in those days. But when Dave came out, things, you know, things had got a little bit better, and they got better and better as time went on. And now I really think we can say that we're reasonably professional now on all scales, both on the ship side of things and also on the program and transmitting side of things. We're regularly on the air. There's no real hassles over that sort of thing.
And it's really nice to see it advance from the position when we both joined it.
That's right, and be able to say that you've had a fair amount to do with it as well is quite satisfying.
Oh, right, yeah, because if you'd come on the ship, when you came on the ship, there was no transmitter at all, was there? There was no transmission.
Well, there was a transmitter, but it was in very bad condition, you know? Yeah. And it was full of sand at the time. When they put the ballast on the Shanine, they forgot to cover the transmitter up, and they filled the transmitter with sand as well.
Yeah, and in fact, I remember when I first came here, I was very surprised because the transmitter was up at the forward section of the ship. So if you did any work up there, the ship used to move up and down about 10 foot while you were trying to work. And
you'd stay still and your stomach would still move up and down.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just underneath the generators, actually, so all this diesel was dripping all over your transmitter.
All over the valves. Lovely smoke everywhere. But we moved it, eventually.
Yeah.
We got tired of the smoke from the transmitter, so we moved it.
We built a new transmitter room ourselves, and we moved it down there. And that's the moment where we've got the linear. And
do you remember moving it down there?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't? No. Did you move the linear down?
No, I didn't move. We moved both of those down.
So you're
yourself.
A lazy thing, aren't you?
No,
well,
I built
actually, it. Actually, took everybody except for you to do it. I was on the ship at the time. And we did it with rollers, you know, and ropes, and there's no sort of winching gear or anything. We just sort of literally manhandled the thing in the middle of the night. We went off the air, you know, I think a little bit early, and we manhandled the thing the whole of the night, and we set it all up and tuned it all up ready for the following morning's Flemish programmes.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad going.
No, we always try and keep the Flemish programmes on the air because they're, of course, the thing which brings in the bread or the money or whatever. It's funny, we spent a long time panelling that transmitter room, didn't we? And it's the same with the studios as well. When I first came on this ship, you wouldn't believe the studios. They were just a bench with some wood nailed underneath. it was worse than a workbench you've probably seen at school, you know? And I couldn't believe it. So
you didn't see the studio that we had in the original broadcast, did you?
I saw the original bench.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened. In fact, I think that Adrian didn't quite realise that his ship hadn't been equipped, you know, in Cuxhaven hardly at all. You know,
very
little work had been done in Cuxhaven, and it was all left to the people on the ship to do things like build benches and get the studios together.
Well, just everything.
The transmitters, you know, everything. Yeah. You know?
Everything that's been done on the ship, and kiddies, really, we've done it ourselves. Andy, myself, and all the rest of the crew on board, all the disc jockeys, everybody has done it themselves. We've panelled all our own cabins, we've done the mess room, we've painted the ship, we've done everything ourselves. And, it's marvellous to look back now and see the achievement that you've made. I'll tell you what, I'm going to play this and then it's time for the news, eh?
If you're feeling sad and lonely, we've got something good. It's just for you, every evening through till morning. Of 312, it's Atlantis' place for music, for lovers and friends are so far away, and Atlantis will be with you at night time and through the day. Of 312, it's Atlantis' plays more music for lovers and friends, are people like you, and Atlantis will be with you forever on 312. Thank you. for music, for lovers and friends of people like you. And Atlantis will be with you forever on 312. Atlantis on 312.
Fantastic voice of Terry Davis, real singer that guy, and that's Atlantis Lovers and Friends, probably the first time you've heard it on the air. Hope so, anyway. Okay, it's time to go over to the newsroom now, and we'll join you in about 2 minutes.
On the half hour, Radio Atlantis News!
Good evening, this is David Rogers reporting.